Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
The original Buck, number 14, retired in the rafters at the new Fiserv Forum, and he helped hoist the 1971 NBA championship. John McLaughlin joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Johnny Mac, appreciate the time.
Hey, happy, you know, always like to come over with you guys. Happy to be there.
Oh, hey, man. Can I ask Johnny Mac a question?
Get in here, Gary.
In 71, John, did you guys have a parade in 71?
You're poking the bear, aren't you?
No, I'm just curious. Did you guys have a parade or not?
I didn't have it.
You've never heard me talk about that, man.
No.
Like poking the bear.
I never heard you talk about it. No.
Me?
No.
We had no parade. We had no recognition from the city. We had no recognition from the state. And you know, it kind of hit us in 71. We were aware of it. But it really struck me down in, what was it, 82 when the Brewers went to the World Series?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a parade for coming in second. And I realized we never got a parade for winning at all. So, no. Gary, we had nothing from the city or the state. Actually, we still have it. And it just kind of passed.
Well, it's not too late. Once they win the championship, we'll make sure we get you guys afloat.
We'll get them their own float.
I'm in charge of the parade committee. We're going all the way to Rockford, Illinois, and coming all the way back down towards Rylander. So we'll pick
you guys up. Who was the owner at that particular time, John?
Hey, wait a minute. If LB gets involved there, you know, the great LB,
yeah,
and leads that charge, I know we'll have a parade, right?
Thank you.
Who was the owner at that time, John?
The owner was Wes Pavilon and his group with Marv Fishman. They were the two heads, and they were and they had a group of other people, but I think Pavilon and Marv were the primary owners, and they were involved. But you know, it wasn't their responsibility to tell the city to have a parade for us. It was the city, and back then was Mayor Meyer, and it just passed. And I think it's sad. It's too bad.
Well, were the Bucks at that? Were they disconnected from the city, or
not? To my knowledge, okay. I can't speak to where Mayor Meyer was.
Right.
But I will say this: the fans, mm-hmm. they were there when we came back from Baltimore the next day, because we flew commercial and had to fly the next day. I'm told there were 10 to 15,000 people at the airport, and it was a great experience because they had to let us out on the tarmac. It was a beautiful day, and we had to walk in down where the baggage claim at that time was and the baggage carts, and they got us to our cars. Two police officers took Pam and I to our car, and I'm assuming that happened with each of the players, and then people were just all over my car and trying to get out of there. We needed police to do that. So the fans came out for us that day at the airport.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did you know
I also didn't know that.
Yeah.
You knew that? There was no parade? Yeah. I never heard that story.
Got screwed.
It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, it is.
That the mayor didn't do it and the governor. I don't know who the governor was at the time.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
But, you know, 48 years ago.
Yeah.
But maybe someday, maybe when we win it this year, we'll get a parade for our 71 team, too.
Be nice. Go ahead, Stevie.
So Middleton obviously hasn't played all that well in this series as far as scoring the basketball. He's rebounding and defending, I think, at a pretty good level right now. We were talking about this earlier. Do you think that him playing defense the way he is and having to guard Kawhi Leonard on the other side is probably taking away from what's happening on the offensive side?
Well, Spark, I knew I would start getting into the real nitty-gritty stuff once you start asking questions.
I know
you're into it, you know it. And I love that about you, Spark. Love it. But I think it plays a role, absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, I listen some and I pay attention to what's going on around the talk shows and you guys and media, you know, print media and what have you. And you know, and I know you guys were having fun with the brooms and all that. Man, I never would go there. Toronto's a good basketball team. They got one of the five best players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not as deep as the Bucks, but they're a good basketball team. And, And look at their ranking all year long defensively, along with the Bucks. What, 1 and 2 spark all year?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And everybody's talking about, oh, you know, Bucks are going to roll. Don't ever assume that. When you get to this point in the playoffs, anybody could win it except Portland, who really is disappointing. And I think Denver might have had a better shot at Golden State than Portland. But, you know, at this point, you just can't be, you know, sweeping and doing all that stuff because you got to go play the games. And they win. If Toronto wins one more game, it's even. Now it's down to 3 games.
Right.
And when it goes to the 7th game, you know, we all love having the home court. But, guys, anything can happen on any given night. And I thought Toronto defense was superb. And I'm not hearing anyone talk about, you know, Giannis was off and Middleton was off. And, well, come on, did you look at the defense they did on Giannis? There was always 3 to 4 men in front of him in the paint. Toronto did a great job. Now, that doesn't mean I absolutely believe we're the best team. And I think we're the only team that can challenge Golden State, by the way.
No,
and not just remaining. That's in the NBA, quite frankly.
Right. I don't disagree with you. And I think they gave Giannis something different. But what I didn't notice, John, that 12-footer, 15-footer for Giannis was open all day long. And he kept just trying to just push it in there. And they were just closing that thing off. And then another thing, too, is the foul discrepancy. And I'm not saying they cheat or anything like that. But Giannis just weren't getting those foul calls like he had the previous games. And I think that kind of upset his game a little bit.
You know, Gary, those are great points, but I think you got to credit Toronto.
Absolutely.
They decided 2 things. We are not going to let Giannis get to the basket. We're going to pull 4 guys in, and if they beat us from the perimeter as he kicks it, we're going to gamble on that. And 2, we're not going to put him on the line this time. We're not going to foul him. I thought Toronto's defense was outstanding the way they did that. And when Giannis would try to go there, I mean, he had a wall.
Yes.
I only faced that twice in my life, and that was in high school on a box and one. And if you don't have a jumper going for you, you got a problem. And Giannis did have the 2-point jumper, and I think it's just a mentality factor of it seems like Giannis is thinking, well, I'll take a 3-point shot once in a while when they give it to me or all the way to the basket. But that 2-point world where Chris Middleton is typically good, as we all know, and Sparks, you know this, it is not overly used in the NBA.
No, not at all. It isn't. Talking with the guy that had the best jumper, John McLaughlin, joining us on the Wendy's Big Show.
1 second. I want to ask your opinion on this. As a Bucks fan, I'm not very educated when it comes to playoff basketball because I haven't seen a lot of it in my life. But having said that, sorry, that was a shot.
No, it's true.
Right. But this is my thing. So everybody's all wound up about the refereeing. And I understand that, and I get that. And I realized it last night during the postgame show when it was coming up, and that is Major League Baseball, when you have a playoff series or World Series, or it's a best of 7, you have the same umpiring crew that rotate bases or whatever the case may be, but it's the same guys in every single game. In basketball, you're bringing in new crews every game of a series. Do you think that's something that needs to be looked at and maybe have the same ref crew for an entire series, which then now lends yourself to know kind of how each game is going to be called by those 3 gentlemen or 2 gentlemen and women, whatever the case may be?
Interesting concept, Spark, no question about it. But I would guarantee you if that happened, you're going to hear complaints on the other side. Well, this referee has it in for me, or for this coach,
right,
or for this player. We've already heard a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And if you keep the same ones, you're going to really build on that. These referees today are so monitored and measured and followed and rewatched, and it's almost, well, I think it'd be a very difficult job. It wouldn't be for me because they are so monitored. Back in the day, it was a little less so. And I have been in the NBA now. This is my 54th year right out of college of being involved in the NBA. I have heard 54 years of complaining about referees. 54, even back when they had Mindy Rudolph and Richie Powers and 2 of them, same thing. It's a really tough job. It's a tough job. They're going to make mistakes, yes, and I've seen a number of them. But I think they do a pretty outstanding job because, I don't know, this could be argumentative, and you football guys might tell me differently, and the baseball guys, but I think being an NBA ref in the NBA would be harder than umpiring in baseball or calling games in football, I would think. I'm not an authority, can't be an authority on that, but it's such a tough job, Spark. And I think in general, and I have my moments with referees too, but in general, I think they're pretty darn outstanding. I really do. They're going to make some mistakes.
When it comes to this basketball team right now through three games, obviously we talked about Middleton. Bledsoe hasn't played all that great either, and thank goodness for the bench, because the bench has really been helping these guys out. Getting Malcolm Brogdon back, he's been as reliable as they come. George Hill, outside of one game where he didn't score, he's been as reliable as they come. And really been a big deal. I mean, overtime last night, Bledsoe took an ill-advised three. Boonholzer pulled him out and made sure Hill and Brogdon were in the game and ran with those guys for a little while. Those two guys have just been huge in this series, Hill and Brogdon.
I'll tell you what. I think what this bench has done and the depth of this team is one of the most impressive parts of our team. Obviously, those are the guys that carried it last night because the defenses were geared around Giannis, obviously, what I heard the national announcers talking about Toronto's willing to give the shots up to our point guard and our star, meaning jump shots. I don't know that I would do that with Bledsoe all the time because he can be pretty effective. But our bench has been so impressive. I absolutely believe we're the deepest team in the NBA. I love the way this team pulls together. I love Coach Bud and the way that he remains positive and leads this team. And I'm not just shilling for this team. I'm just telling you, watching it all these years and being involved in it as a player and an announcer, it's impressive what this coach and this entire team has done. It really is. Now we just got to pay it off.
And, John, to that extent and to that ilk, what has this run meant to you?
Well, it's exciting, and I think when I talked with you guys last time, I said I really haven't a Bucks team that could win it all since 1974. As good as we were in the 1980s, and I love those Moncrief guys and Pressey and Sickman, Lanier, and all of them, loved them, but just fractionally better. But I believe this team could win it, and it has been so much fun. Their style, which I would love, by the way, as a player. Their camaraderie, the way that they're led by the coach, what a coach he is. He doesn't coach from the negative standpoint. He coaches from the positive standpoint. And what it's done for the city and the new building, I mean, it's just thrilling to me, and I'm so happy for all of them.
You still have the Bucks win a series, correct?
Yep.
No doubt.
Yep.
When you look at the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Toronto Raptors, do you think last night was probably all that Toronto can give?
I do, Gary, but look, you've been a professional athlete.
Right.
You know, we can all say all these things and anticipate these things, and we can look statistically – which is a big deal today, and a lot of it's really good. But the bottom line is you go out on the court, and it's 5 against 5. And that sounds, oh, yeah, John, really good stuff. I am telling you, you know, you lay out the game plan. You say, okay, guys, on the right side, we're going to go green defense, and which pushes baseline. We're going to go yellow to the middle. We're going to do this. You can take Bill Bradley, a Rhodes Scholar, and put him in a game, and you give him all of that stuff, and that's good. It's game prep. But then it breaks down when the play is taken away and all the five options are gone. Now it's me against you, Gary, and we just make it happen. And that, you got to just let guys go. So I'm one of those to go, well, you know, we can sweep them. No, man, you go out and you play the game on any given night.
Correct.
The worst team can beat the best team, not necessarily in the playoffs, over 7. I think Toronto is good defensively, apparently well coached. I can't speak to that. Looks like it with their game plan. Hey, man, we got to bring it. And then if we get past them, Golden State's going to be a monster.
Right.
You know, just defending them. So, but I do believe that us and Golden State are the best teams, and we're the only team that could beat them.
Well, Johnny, once this thing gets to the NBA Finals, let's hopefully get you in here and we can talk Bucks for a much longer extended time. We got a warm, comfy seat and you can sit right next to LB and he'll tell you all about the plot to give you guys your own float in the new 2019 victory parade.
We're getting that done.
Could you have LB pick me up and bring me in so I could ride in style like in a Rolls Royce? And
he's such a prima donna, isn't he?
We ain't got no Rolls Royce. I can get a Ford, a Lincoln, Uptown. Yeah. I can't get
he is come such on, a prima donna.
We got to stay in Milwaukee with this championship. We can't get too big.
Hey, are you signing autographs anywhere?
I do. I've got one coming up in June.
Uh-huh.
I don't have the details on it, but...
Okay.
We'll give people the details. We got them.
Okay.
Well, good. He'll have those details.
Are they going to send him a driver? Is what I'm getting to. You think they're going to send him?
Oh, come on, kidding me?
Oh, by the way, I think Terry Cummings is going to be in for that one.
Hey,
and they were trying to get Greg Smith in. I don't think he could. They're working on another Buck from the '80s.
June 8th from 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Waukesha Sports Cards, Johnny Mac.
Man, that
just show up
2 to 3. I thought it was 1:30, but I'm not sure of that.
Well, you may have to be there at 1:30 to sign other autographs, but the public portion of it is 2 to 3.
You got to do private first, Giant Mike. We got to get you that private first.
Got to get you that private money.
Yeah, Rob ain't got no money, man. He got to get that private stuff.
I want to sign somewhere with LB and Gary. I want to sign with him, because when you go somewhere with Packers, man, everybody shows up.
You're right about that.
When a buck goes, just the hardcore and family show up.
Well, you know what? You know who I would like to see more, though? Terry Cummings. That's a good get. I mean, I would love to see him more at Bucks functions, at games and stuff like that. He was a great player for us.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, man. That was a powerful dude.
Right?
Man. And musically, had great musical skills, a preacher. Mm-hmm. Good dude. I liked him a whole bunch. Didn't speak a lot, and when he did, you need to listen.
Right.
He was one of those. Well, they're bringing him in for that particular signing. And this Bucks ownership under Peter Fagan, with Peter as our president, they're bringing in more and more guys from the past. You know, Oscar was at the game 2 games ago, and I had a chance to spend quite a bit of time with him there, which was really delightful. And they've done quite a bit of that, which is really great to see.
Right.
John, thanks, appreciate it, man. We'll get you in here. Maybe we'll sign a couple of autographs with you and Leroy Butler once we get to the NBA Finals. All right, appreciate it.
Well, you got to promise that they'll want mine, just not Leroy's, because he's the pack.
His line is longer. He'll tell y'all any day. He'll tell you.
My
line is longer, cuz.
John, appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Johnny Mac, we love you.
I got him on you, brother. They're on
now.
Take care.
Later.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. That's John McLaughlin joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.